In this video, we're going over the category herbs that stabilize and bind, or what other books will just call astringent herbs. So the name of this category is herbs that stabilize and bind, which is kind of a weird name. What do we mean by stabilize and bind? Well, it turns out other books will just call this category astringent herbs, or herbs that induce astringency, because that's what we're doing, is we're inducing astringency to stop leakage. And when we say leakage, we're pretty much talking about leakage of fluids. So what does this mean, to induce astringency to stop leakage? Well, if you remember back to the very, very beginning in fundamentals, we talked about the functions of qi, the 5 or 6 functions of qi, depending on which book you're reading. And remember, one of those functions was containment, that qi is supposed to contain or hold things in. So the idea here is that if qi is deficient, it will fail in its function of containment, and those fluids and other things will leak out. So what kind of leakage could we be looking at? Well, basically, we can divide it up into 3 depending on the system. So we can look at leakage of lung qi. So when you say leakage of lung qi, this could refer to sweating. Remember, the lung governs the exterior. It governs the wei qi and the opening and closing of the pores. So if the lung qi is deficient, the interstices become unsound and the sweat leaks out. So if there's lung qi deficiency, the lung qi fails in its function of containment and the fluids, the sweat, leaks out. When you talk about lung qi leakage, we can also technically talk about cough, wheezing, and shortness of breath. Just know here when I write down SOB, that means shortness of breath. So you might see that come up in different things. So a lot of times when we talk about this cough, wheezing, shortness of breath, we could call this rebellious lung qi, but we could also say that if the lung is deficient, it fails in its function of depurative downbearing, and so we could call that leakage of lung qi as well. So some of these herbs that treat, that astringe the lung, will treat coughing and wheezing as well. Besides that, we can call this middle jiao leakage, so spleen stomach. So if the spleen is deficient, it can fail in containment. But really, when we say middle jiao, we can also call this large intestine leakage, because the main symptom here is diarrhea. That if the middle jiao is deficient, if we have spleen qi deficiency, it can fail to contain, it can fail to hold things in, and so we just have kind of a chronic long-term loose stools or diarrhea. So sometimes we'll call that middle jiao leakage, or sometimes we'll call it large intestine leakage. I think that in terms of the qi deficiency, it's actually like the spleen qi that is deficient. But when we get into our herb functions, we'll say we astringe the large intestine to stop diarrhea. But anyway, a chronic long-standing diarrhea due to deficiency can be considered leakage as well. And then we can have lower jiao leakage or kidney leakage, and this can manifest in a couple ways. So we can have, this could be leakage of water, like urination issues. So frequent profuse urination, frequent nighttime urination, or incontinence, things like bedwetting or daytime incontinence. Because remember, the kidneys are supposed to transform the fluids, the kidney qi is supposed to hold the fluids in, and so if that kidney qi is deficient, the fluids will leak out, giving us urination issues like frequent profuse urination or even incontinence. But then remember, the kidneys are also supposed to store the jing, or the essence of well. So if that kidney qi is not firm, the kidney qi is not stable and holding things in, we can have leakage of essence, so like seminal emission, premature ejaculation, spermatorrhea, things like that. Or in women, we could have vaginal discharge. And again, these are things due to deficiency where the kidney qi can't hold things in. So these are the main ones that we're talking about when we're talking about inducing astringency to stop leakage. If we wanted to add another one, we could also say, in this idea of leakage, we could add in bleeding as another condition. So remember, again, when we went back to fundamentals, when we talked about the functions of the spleen, we said that the spleen is supposed to hold the blood inside the vessels. So if the spleen qi is deficient, it can fail in its function of containment, and that blood can leak out of the vessels. So that deficiency can be a cause of bleeding, and we can consider that leakage as well. But here, when we talk about this kind of bleeding, we're not just talking about like spontaneously cuts open up on your skin and you start bleeding, or we're not even so much talking about like coughing up blood or vomiting blood. That's usually typically more bleeding due to heat. When you talk about this bleeding due to deficiency where the blood is leaking out or the qi is failing to contain the blood, we're usually talking about uterine bleeding or things like profuse menses. So we could say prolonged menses where the period lasts longer than normal, profuse menses where there's a lot of bleeding, or sometimes we use the term flooding and spotting. So during the period, the flow is very heavy, so that's the flooding, and then we have spotting between periods. So that could be a type of bleeding due to deficiency where you want to induce astringency to contain that leakage of blood. And again, this is something that we talked about last semester in the category herbs that stop bleeding. We talked about our different treatment strategies for bleeding. And there we did have some herbs that induce astringency to stop bleeding. So a lot of those herbs are in that category. But we might see a few in this category that also stop bleeding as well. But this is basically what we're dealing with when we say stabilize and bind, or when we say induce astringency to stop leakage. These are the types of conditions that we're talking about. So a few things we should keep in mind when we want to employ the strategy of inducing astringency to stop leakage is, number one, we want to avoid detaining the evil. And so what does this mean? Well, basically what this means is, remember, when we're trying to stop leakage, this is for conditions due to deficiency, where the qi is deficient and it fails in its function of containment. And when the qi fails to contain these fluids, we might have sweating, diarrhea, frequent copious urination, and things like that. What we want to be careful of is if we have these same symptoms, but they're due to an excess pathogen or an external pathogen, then we do not want to use these herbs. So an idea would be here, an example would be, suppose we have a wind cold pathogen that attacks the exterior and we get sweating. Well, in that situation, we don't want to hold things in. We want to promote sweating to push the pathogen out. If we have heat binding in the stomach and large intestine, we don't want to hold things in. We want to push it out by purging the large intestine. If we have diarrhea due to damp heat, we're not going to try to hold things in. We want to drain out that damp heat. So the idea here is, if we have one of those excess pathogens, if we use these astringent herbs, what that will do is actually trap the pathogen inside. And so sometimes the analogy here is like, they say, you don't want to lock the door while the thief is still in the house. So if you have something invading, you first want to push the pathogen out, and then you can reinforce the exterior and hold things in. So that's something we want to keep in mind, that when we're using these herbs, these are for long-standing cases due to deficiency. So in terms of like diarrhea, think about like IBS or Crohn's, where it's something that's been going on for a long time, and it's usually due to a deficiency condition. If you had diarrhea due to damp heat, if you try to use these herbs, you'll actually make the condition worse because you're trapping that damp heat pathogen inside the body. And the same thing goes for our other, with if we have urination problems due to damp heat in the lower jaw, if we have sweating due to a heat condition, then using astringent herbs would just trap that pathogen in. So we do not use these herbs for excess conditions. These herbs are only for deficiency conditions where the qi is failing in its function of containment. They are not for excess evil pathogens invading the body. So that's number one, is we don't want to hold the pathogen in. Number two is we should acknowledge that these herbs treat the branch symptoms only. So again, we said this is a condition where the qi is deficient and fails in its function of containment. So these astringent herbs will treat those branch symptoms of leakage, but we would need to combine them with herbs that treat the underlying root cause. So say we had night sweating due to yin deficiency. We could use these herbs to stop the sweating, but we'd have to combine them with herbs that tonify yin. Say we have chronic diarrhea due to kidney yang deficiency. We could use these herbs to astringe the large intestine and hold in the diarrhea, but we would have to combine it with herbs that tonify kidney yang. If we had cough due to lung qi deficiency, we could use sour herbs to hold the lung qi in, but we would still want to use herbs that tonify lung qi as well. So these herbs only treat the branch symptoms. We want to combine them with tonifying herbs to treat the root cause. And so sometimes what comes up here is when we talk about this difference between treating the root versus treating the branch, sometimes students will ask, why would we ever just not treat the root? Why? I thought Chinese medicine was all about treating the root cause instead of just putting a Band-Aid on and covering up the symptoms. Why would we even bother with this branch treatment? And kind of the answer is that basically sometimes these conditions take a long time to treat. So say you have someone with kidney yin deficiency. They have 5-center heat. They have tidal fever, hot flashes, they have a red, dry tongue, and one of their main complaints is night sweating. Sometimes when people have kidney yin deficiency, the night sweating can be so severe that they wake up several times per night and change their bed sheets because their bed sheets have been soaked with sweat. And so this is a very severe condition. So we could say in order to treat this condition, we treat the root by tonifying kidney yin, but it turns out building up kidney yin can take a long time. It could take several months to build up that kidney yin. And in the meantime, the patient is still suffering. They're still experiencing these branch symptoms. So what we do is that, yes, we start out with a formula that tonifies kidney yin to treat the root cause, but then we'll add in some of these astringent herbs that induce astringency to stop sweating so that the patient can feel some relief for those symptoms while we're building up the kidney yin. So that's kind of the idea here, is that this is for a dual approach of treating the branch symptoms, but we also have to treat the root cause as well. And like we said, when we're dealing with these herbs, it's typically deficiency is the root cause. So getting back to the name of this category, herbs that stabilize and bind, I think this is kind of a weird name, but just to kind of elaborate why Bensky uses this term. So when you talk about the term stabilize, in Chinese, the word here is gu, which can be translated as to stabilize or to secure or to strengthen. And then the word bind, that's his translation for si. So it turns out si actually means astringency. So when we talk about the five flavors, and then we also talked about, in addition to the five flavors, we have extra properties like bland, aromatic, and astringent. The word for astringent is si. So a lot of people will just say astringent or induce astringency. For some reason, Bensky translates this as bind. So when we're talking about the five flavors and the properties of the herbs, si gets translated as astringent. But when we talk about the actions of the herbs, he translates si as bind. So that's kind of what we mean by this term stabilize and bind. And so this will come up in the herb functions. Well, he'll say things like stabilize the exterior to stop sweating, stabilize the kidney to stop leakage of essence, or even stabilize menses to treat these bleeding conditions like flooding and spotting. And then we use the word bind. We can say bind up the intestine to stop diarrhea, or even bind up essence to stop leakage of essence, as in seminal emission, spermatorrhea, premature ejaculation. So that's why he names this category herbs that stabilize and bind. Those are just the translations of those Chinese words that he uses, and that's what's going to come up in these formula actions. That when, instead of saying inducing astringency, Bensky will say things like stabilizes the exterior or binds up the intestines. But it turns out there are other books that will use other terms for this. So we might say constrains the lung and stops sweating, or constrains the lung qi to stop cough. So constraining is like stabilizing and binding, astringing the intestines to stop diarrhea. So for si, instead of saying binding up the intestines, other books will just say astringe the intestines to stop diarrhea. Or we can, for gu, we can say secure. So like secure kidney essence. So these are just some of the terms that we'll see being used. And we just need to know that they all pretty much mean the same thing, or they were all talking about inducing astringency to stop leakage. And usually we're talking about leakage of fluids, but we can also talk about things like diarrhea, coughing, and other things like that. So that's just what we mean by the category herbs that stabilize and bind. So if you're following along in Bensky, don't get confused by that. If you're using other books, it might just say astringency. So that's what we mean. So this slide, I think, summarizes everything that we talked about. So we can say astringent herbs. We definitely, uh, we usually talk about three different types of leakage. We can have leakage in the upper jowl, lung qi leakage, which is either usually sweating, but can also mean things like coughing and wheezing. We can talk about middle jowl or large intestine leakage. And here we're talking about diarrhea. Again, we're talking about more like chronic long-standing diarrhea due to either spleen qi deficiency or spleen and kidney yang deficiency. Or we could have kidney leakage, lower jowl leakage, things like leakage of urine, leakage of essence, things like that. We use these herbs for chronic, long-standing cases due to deficiency. We don't use them for excess conditions because that would just trap the pathogen in and actually prolong the disease. And these herbs treat the branch symptoms. We would have to combine them with tonifying herbs to treat the root. So we look at the properties of herbs that stabilize and bind. In terms of taste, these herbs are either sour and or astringent. So remember the sour flavor astringes, it holds things in. And then astringent is an extra property that we don't necessarily call it a taste. We don't name it among the five flavors, but we talk about it under the same category as properties. And astringent just refers to this action of it. It causes your mouth to pucker. It has this action. And so we say it has an action of holding things in. So sometimes we'll use the word astringent just to describe herbs or substances that they don't necessarily taste sour when you put them in your mouth, but they still cause this puckering and they still have this action of restraining leakage of fluids. So these herbs are, of course, going to be sour or astringent because this is the astringency category. The temperature is generally going to be warm or neutral. Again, we're usually dealing with deficiency, and so it's just the warming temperature tends to be a little bit more tonifying. We will have one or two that are cool in temperature, so that's something to pay attention to. In terms of entering channels, it's going to be depending on the type of leakage. So we can say leakage of lung qi will enter the lung channel. If there's large intestine leakage, enters a large intestine channel. If there's lower jowl leakage, enters the kidney channel. So that's going to depend on what type of leakage the herb restrains. And the main action is to induce astringency to stop leakage, or in Benski terms, it's to be stabilize and bind, things like stabilize the interior, bind up the large intestine, secure kidney essence, things like that. And some other things, like we said, these treat leakage due to deficiency, don't use them for excess conditions, and combine them with tonifying herbs to treat the root cause. So when we look at these herbs, at least in Benski, he just gives us one long list of herbs. And I think this is a little bit confusing and it's a little bit unwieldy. So I don't really go along with this. If we look at other books like the Wiseman and Brand Concise Materia Medica, what they do is they divide it up into categories based on what type of leakage these herbs treat. So we divide it up into leakage of lung qi, so herbs that treat coughing and sweating, middle jowl leakage or large intestine leakage, so herbs that treat diarrhea, and then lower jowl leakage or leakage of urine and leakage of essence for the last category. So this is something I prefer. This is the way I learned it, so this is the way I prefer to teach it. And so just know that we're not going to be looking at these herbs in the same order that Benski does them, so we've had to rearrange them a little bit. And then also just understand that there is some overlap here. These aren't very strict categories, that a lot of these herbs do more than one. Some of them will bind the large intestine to stop diarrhea, but they also stop sweating, or they also prevent leakage of kidney essence. So some of them do more than one thing. We just divide them up based on what their major action is or what they're most known for. So just realize that there is some overlap here. So yeah, here, just realize that there's going to be some overlap here. And so some herbs treat more than one type of leakage. But let's go ahead and start out with our upper jowl leakage of lung qi for coughing and sweating. And our first one here is Uweitze Schisandra fructus. Schisandra fructus. This is schisandra berry. This has become a little bit popular in Western herbalism as well, so maybe you're familiar with this, but in Chinese it's called Uweitze. So Uweitze, like we said, we're in the category of lung qi leakage. So Uweitze constrains lung qi leakage, and we can say this is for coughing and wheezing due to deficiency. So again, sometimes we think about coughing and wheezing as in rebellious lung qi, but here we can also think about it as if the lung qi is deficient, it fails in its function of downbearing the qi, and so it kind of leaks back up and outward. So Wu Weizi, by virtue of its sour flavor, it can induce astringency to stop leakage of lung qi to treat things like coughing and wheezing due to lung deficiency, like lung qi deficiency or lung yin deficiency. So here we're talking about more of a chronic cough that's more soft in volume. It's not like a loud hacking cough where you're coughing up a bunch of phlegm. This is more like a chronic dry cough due to lung yin deficiency, or a chronic quiet cough due to lung qi deficiency. So we can astringe lung qi to stop that coughing and wheezing. And then also Wu Weizi stops sweating. So we can say it stabilizes the exterior and stops sweating. For spontaneous sweating, this is usually due to like spleen qi deficiency. You start sweating even though you're not exerting yourself, or lung qi deficiency. You start sweating even though you're not exerting yourself. Or we can have night sweating. Sometimes this is more about kidney yin deficiency. So either spontaneous sweating during the day or night sweating in the evening or night. And usually this is especially when there's thirst or dryness accompanying it, because we're not only stopping the sweating, we're also generating fluids to treat dryness and thirst as well. So those are the main functions of Wu Weizi in terms of astringing the lung. It's good for coughing and wheezing, and it's also good for sweating, both daytime sweating and nighttime sweating. But besides that, we can also say Wu Weizi has an action of stopping kidney leakage as well. So we can have leakage of essence like nocturnal emission, spermatorrhea, vaginal discharge, or frequent urination. So all those symptoms of lower jowl leakage when the kidney is not holding things in, we can have leakage of urine or leakage of essence. And this is actually also can help bind up the intestine for early morning diarrhea, especially when that diarrhea is due to spleen and kidney yang deficiency. So this is something that we talked about in the last category, or the category before, when we talked about herbs that tonify kidney yang. When kidney and spleen yang are deficient, then we can end up with this early morning diarrhea, daybreak diarrhea. And so we would use those herbs that tonify kidney yang to treat the root cause, but we could also use Wu Weizi to treat the branch symptoms as well. So with Wu Weizi, it's basically doing all the types of leakage. We're restraining lung qi leakage for coughing and sweating. We're restraining kidney leakage for leakage of essence and urine. And then we're also binding up the large intestine as well. But I would say with Wu Weizi, we typically see this more for diarrhea due to spleen and kidney yang deficiency. Maybe not so much for spleen qi deficiency. So that's why we put this diarrhea, we put it under the subheading of kidney leakage as well. And kind of an interesting action here is we say that Wu Weizi calms the spirit as well. And this is kind of an interesting idea where this comes up a few times, where we could say it calms the spirit. That sour flavor, by virtue of holding things together, it prevents the heart qi from scattering. So it's kind of that sour flavor is holding the heart qi together to help with Shen problems like irritability, insomnia, palpitations, or dream disturbed sleep, profuse dreaming, because the heart Shen can't come home to its house in the heart. So we end up with dream disturbed sleep. So that's kind of another interesting action. We attribute that to the sour flavor, where it's holding the heart qi together to calm the spirit. So we look up here, the taste of Wu Weizi, it's of course sour because it's holding things in. And this one, Wu Weizi should be relatively safe if you want to taste it, if you want to either eat a little bit, or sometimes what you can do is just soak it in water. You don't even have to heat up the water. You can just soak it in regular water for a long time. And then when you taste it, it will taste very sour in flavor. So it definitely has a sour flavor to induce astringency. Then we also say it has some sweetness as well, because it's generating fluids, and so that sweet flavor is moistening. And then some people also say that Wu Weizi has a tonifying action as well, and I think that's why it's become more popular in the West. I've even been to like smoothie bars where one of their add-ons, they will add schisandra berry to it. And I think there's this idea that can also tonify as well. But at least traditionally, we don't really see this as a tonifying herb in TCM. It's more about either holding things in or generating fluids. The entering channels are kidney, heart, and lung, because those are the types of qi that we're astringing. We're stopping lung qi leakage for coughing and sweating. We're stopping kidney leakage for urine and essence, but also for diarrhea due to kidney deficiency. And then we're also calming heart spirit as well. So that's why we have those entering channels. And the name Uweitza means five flavor seeds. So U means five. I think we've seen this come up before. We see this come up in formula names as well. Wei means flavor or taste, or sometimes we even translate it as ingredient. And Z means seed. So Uweitza is five flavor seed. So some people say that this herb has all five flavors. But if you've ever tasted it, definitely the dominant taste is sour. So that's Uweitza. Kind of does all of them, but I would say we would especially focus on lung leakage for Uweitza.